Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence.
You're trying to get me in trouble, aren't you?
Yes, telling you
just
to curse.
Just told me the delay's on. I can curse all I want to now.
Yeah, well, you just cursed off a blue streak.
But it was on delay, wasn't it?
Right, it was.
It didn't actually go out on the air.
Nobody. Oh, it went out.
I said double fudge and shucks and all those good words.
And use the N-word or something like
that? No, I never used that.
The nice, N-I-C-E. That's
nice word. Yes, I use nice words all the time.
All right.
How was your weekend, buddy?
I was okay. Spent a lot of time running around, but really enjoyed it. Met a lot of, saw a lot of good people. Let's see, and I saw you in social media post a picture of you introducing Jeff McCausland and sitting with Jeff McCausland.
Well, actually, I was presiding over the opening of the state mayor's conference. That was our beloved president, Jim Nowak, had COVID. And normally he would do those duties, but he was under the weather. He actually came to the conference and sat in a hotel room and watched it all on video, but he had to turn it over to the vice president to run the meeting. So he gave me the first one since I knew Jeff McCausland, or had talked to him at least. And so I got to open up the conference on Thursday night.
Okay. Surprises? Anything unusual? Or what?
Well,
you
we've
hear?
Already talked about this when I came back. No, the Ron Harris, who's the mayor of Carroll Valley, Pennsylvania, is our photographer. He took all the pictures and just posted them over the weekend.
Okay,
so
good.
That's where I got that picture of me with Jeff McCausland.
Yeah, you're famous now
on social media. Hey, Jeff's quite a guy. I mean, you know, very few people have accomplished in their lives what he's accomplished. PhD, a colonel in the military, CBS news analyst.
Yeah.
Huh?
Been around the world in the U.S. military.
Yeah. So it's always insightful to get a chance to talk to him. And when we get a chance to have him on the air here in the program, it's always interesting, too.
Funny.
When military issues come up, he's our go-to guy.
Well, he brought us the information about the Desert Storm Memorial being built in Washington, D.C. Depending upon how you look at it, it's hard to determine how many U.S. servicemen and women died there. The number of servicemen and women directly died there, relatively low, we're glad to say, of course. But if you count in civilians who were included or Americans who were contractors and so on, the numbers, you do get into the hundreds. So, but of course, the memorial will be for military personnel, and they have a nice spot in the National Mall where they'll be able to build that. So that fundraising's underway. So he's been talking about that. We may have more about that in the weeks or months ahead, the Desert Storm Memorial.
Well, in the meantime, get Jeff's book. It's called Battle Tested, Lessons from Gettysburg that we can apply today.
You love that book.
I love that book. I'm in the second reading of it.
Good for you.
And I can tell you he sold a lot of copies of it at our conference.
Oh, did he? Right. So, yeah, and you already have a signed piece from it. So, all right. Well, we can talk about that. We also have the issues of the day, the Mar-a-Lago search really being scrutinized. And
the operative word there. You started off with the operative word.
What's that?
Well, the way you pronounce scrutinized, it sounds more like scrutinized.
Okay.
And it certainly seems to me like President Trump has had that happen to him.
Right. Well, yeah, so the search was underway, and of course the FBI says there were boxes marked top secret in there. Not quite sure what is in the boxes yet, so we'll have to find out that later. Still haven't seen the affidavit.
How many categories of secret material there were. Confidential, secret, super secret, double Dutch super secret.
Right. And you and I could look at the things marked confidential.
Well, I don't think they'd let us anywhere near them. But
so, yeah, and some things you have to look at in the SCIF, you know, this soundproof room. Amy Klobuchar was on one of the weekend shows, I think Meet the Press, and she talked about the fact that you have to take off your Fitbit watch, and of course you can't have a phone or any electronic devices. You go on the SCIF, and then they open up the file and let you look at this stuff, and then you have to promise not to disclose what you've looked at. And these are top secret things that would, like, list the names of U.S. operatives overseas and those kind of things.
Well, I think the most troubling thing is that apparently some of Trump's supporters are actually issuing threats to the FBI and other law enforcement. You know, as a Republican, traditionally we support law enforcement. I find it disconcerting that some of Trump's supporters are actually threatening a civil war and put a dirty bomb in front of the FBI headquarters. What kind of nuts are these?
Well, and you want to differentiate. I think the FBI scrutiny is well placed. You know, it seems as though everybody, in a bipartisan fashion, wants more transparency and a little bit more oversight. And, you know, was this really necessary? I think it's a perfectly valid question to ask.
Was it politically motivated? Is that right. A perfectly valid question to ask
and
as well?
If so, how do you detect that? How, you know, where are the sort of the warning signs of something that's more politics and less, you know, criminal investigation or civil or federal investigation? So, you know, I think people familiar with law enforcement can do that they can separate that out. So let them do that.
Well, Trump
but this
in
idea
office.
Of threats and calling for civil war and so on, and President Trump, as we know, has the ability to incite limited, small number of individuals. Well, that's all it takes to really cause big problems around here.
I can't dispute that. But look, he says that he declassified everything in there before he brought it home. And that is the president's right. But how can things be one minute super secret classified, double Dutch classified?
Right,
just because the president says these are no longer important to our national security, I therefore declassify them. Does that mean I can go into there and pick it up and read it?
Well,
you know, and I don't think any one person should have that that particular power.
We would have to have some objective viewer look at these and say, should this still be secret? Some of them are secrets that might no longer really need to be kept secret. You know, they just expired, and maybe that's what the president is, you know, was talking about. The trouble is in this particular case, he has to be our objective, factual, truthful observer of what was top secret or not. And for most Americans, they take what he says with a grain of salt because it's often, infused with adjectives that maybe overstate things or just outright lie.
You say he's bloviating?
Well, you don't know in this case. So let's just suppose for the sake of discussion, he's telling 100% the truth and that these were things, A, he declassified, and B, they weren't all that secret to start out with, you know, and weren't really ultra-critical to national security.
Bear in mind that not all of the papers and information surrounding the assassination of John Kennedy have been released yet. They're still considered classified.
Okay.
So, I mean, how can something that was super secret one minute be not a secret the next minute?
Right. Double Dutch segment that they have that you have to, that had to
what,
go.
What, SCI or something like that? I forget. It has some initials
after. That's about
after.
Right. Yeah. Secret, confidential or something. But any event, things that had to go to a vault. They talked about that as soon as they left the building, they had to go to a guarded vault elsewhere and not even be looked at or, you know, significantly opened or anything. That just
well,
the
and
box
supposedly
was taken.
When the National Archives people were there talking to the Trump people, they said, put a lock on this door. That implies he didn't have a lock on the door before, which is rather frightening.
Well, and I think, you know, you have this issue. You and I have talked about this, what they should have said.
Or done.
Well, what they should have done. You know, honestly, if the president has things there that the State Department or Homeland Security is concerned about, could this have not been resolved, you know, with a lot of compromise? You know, President Trump would have to let folks come in and look at his boxes to see what's in there so that he can find out what's secret and what's
but
not.
Let's say that they pushed Trump to the wall and they said to him, listen, Mr. President, I guess you still call him that even though he's no longer the president, if you don't give us this material back, you know, because we think we need it back, we're going to have a subpoena. We're going to come in here. We're going to embarrass you. It's going to be very embarrassing for everybody.
Why
don't you just give us? Well, because it makes it look like, you know, look at all the hell he raised about Hillary Clinton and the emails and the having confidential material on her own server. You know, that was the Republicans. Oh, that's horrible. This is apocalyptic. Well, then why isn't it apocalyptic for Donald Trump to have secret documents in his house?
Well, maybe this is the drip, 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 so he won't run. You know, if we argue that it's political, you know, sort of the other side of the truth coin that I flipped there earlier, if you say it's political, then maybe some of this is to keep him from running. Although, you know, If I were a Democrat, I would go, go, Trump, go, because Joe Biden could have him for lunch. But almost any one of the Republicans would be Joe Biden.
Joe Biden couldn't even find his lunch.
Well, I think people would once again vote for, you know, the least worst best choice, you know, if it were President Biden and President Trump again. But you know, if the Republicans put up anybody but Trump, I think the Democrats are going to be in trouble.
Well, I don't think that President Trump would be a good candidate, quite frankly, because, you know, he has never managed to not be a lightning rod for the other side. No one ever concedes that, except a Republican, that this is a guy who's trying to do the right thing. Most people, I think, on the other side believe he's a buffoon, as you do, that he's incapable of telling the truth, as you believe, that he's got the worst interests of the United States at heart because he wants to keep brown people out of the country, and he doesn't like Muslims and
that's
all this
true.
Other stuff that you know, has been attached to President Trump that I don't buy in its entirety. You know, if you say, we want to stop people from coming across the border, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm opposed to Hispanic people, but in the anti-Trump world, that's exactly what it means.
1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to join our conversation, our On the Mark show, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, you can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line open, 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 702-236. Joe, what do you got there?
One of our emailers says, if there was an urgency to retrieve these documents, why wasn't it urgent a year ago?
Maybe because they were still talking and negotiating and hoping they could do sort of that reasonable thing where they go through them. Again, that's speculation.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? We'd have to see the timeline of the investigation. Tom, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, for that last caller, they've been trying to get these documents for a year. So I don't know where that other guy gets his information.
Well, he just asked a question. I don't think he's not saying he has any information.
But anyway, Joe, you got to stop beating the truth. I mean, you're beating the hell out of the truth.
The truth should be made to suffer.
Where am I beating the hell out of the truth?
The documents were never declassified.
Trump says he declassified
them. Just because Donald Trump says he declassified them doesn't mean anything.
But the president can do that.
There is a procedure. You ever know what a procedure is?
No, I never heard of that.
There is a procedure that you have to do to declassify these documents. You just
and you know he didn't.
Say, I declassify them.
And you know he didn't do it?
And that's what he's saying.
You know he didn't do it?
He did not go through the procedure.
How do you know that?
To declassify the documents, so therefore they are not declassified.
How do you know he didn't?
Because they said he didn't.
Who's they?
Well, that much is
government.
In the search warrant.
The government says he didn't declassify them. He says
that's
he did.
That's right. They did not. He did not declassify the documents because he did not go through the procedure to declassify them. All
right.
He's doing right now, because he got caught, is he's saying, I declassified them. Well, anybody can say that.
Well, my understanding is
he did not, but according to what they're saying on the TV, and they know these reporters and everything, and the government's saying he did not declassify the documents because he did not follow the procedures that you have to go through to declassify them.
Okay.
So they were never declassified, regardless of what he says. He says a lot of things that aren't true, which is probably 99% of what he says isn't true.
Okay.
So you're really killing the truth, Joe.
Well, under some
classified him because he didn't.
Under some limited circumstances, apparently the president can make changes in the classification status.
Yes, he certainly can. Whether
things.
Tom believes that or not, he can.
But he has to go through a procedure.
And the procedure is what?
Go through a procedure.
What is it? Tell me the procedure.
Look that, you're saying, look that up in the dictionary.
If I know what a procedure is, if I put down what is a procedure, I'm not going to get this
like
information.
Like a colonoscopy, you mean, or something?
Yeah, this is in the Constitution. Is this a law?
I'm telling you that he did not, according to what they say, he did not follow the procedures that you have to follow.
They say he didn't. He says he did.
So therefore, they're not declassified.
Well, that's what makes it political, Tom. They say he didn't. He says he did.
Well, and his credibility.
Oh, they ought to know. They ought to have the paperwork.
Well, but, see, there's
all kind of paperwork that you have to figure out that you have to fill out to declassify something. Let's see the let's see all the papers that he filled out and that he signed that he declassified them, and all the other people that had to go, that had to sign them and go through all that other stuff and archive them all. Let's see it, because there should be a record of all this stuff.
Well, there should be a record.
Say, well, I declassified them, and that's it. That's not the way it works.
I'm not sure that it seemed to me that at least on some of the Sunday shows they were talking about, he does have some limited ability to declare that things, some things, like maybe some things that maybe he generated or whatever, can be at least partially declassified. But in any event, this is a tempest in a teapot. Well, the issue is, was this a political search warrant? Was this a political hack job? Or is the president telling the truth? Well, I guess those both would be accurate.
Then it was a political hack job on Hillary then.
Well, here's the deal. This is from the New York Times. On Friday, Mr. Trump's office claimed that when he was president, he had a standing order. The materials removed from the Oval Office and taken to the residence were deemed to be declassified the moment he removed them. Now, if that wasn't something he could do, why didn't somebody challenge it?
I don't know. He might have been taking this stuff out. Like they said, he could have been taking this stuff out a little bit at a time every time he went down to Mar-a-Lago.
But he said any time his standing order was that
his people that should have been ratting on him were afraid of him.
Well, let me repeat this again.
That kind of stuff was going on.
Mr. Trump's office claimed that when he was president, he had a standing order that materials removed from the Oval Office. Removed from the Oval Office and taken to the residence were deemed to be declassified the moment he removed them. In other words, he set up a mechanism.
That's what his office said.
Right, but his mechanism was, if I take them out of here, they're declassified. Otherwise, if they're classified, I'd have left them in here.
I declare.
That's not true at all.
All right.
That is
thank
not
you
true.
So much,
There's
Tom.
There's a procedure you have to go through to do it. You just don't do what he says.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. Thanks
I'm
for calling
sorry,
in.
But it just doesn't work.
You don't have to
right?
be sorry. It's okay. We appreciate your opinion. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We will be right back momentarily. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
Well, finally, I thought you were never coming back.
I was busy up the hall.
Just to getting a cup of coffee, for heaven's sake.
Well, you know.
We have three phone calls in line, and we only have 8 minutes left, so we're going to have to move somebody to the second segment. But we'll start with Stan from Danville. You are on the mark.
Good morning. I'll start the day off with some good vibes here. On Saturday, I was over in New Berlin with Gilson Ski Company's Summer Fun Day.
Oh,
I don't know
wow.
if anybody else was there, but it was a good time. I think everybody should go over and patronize them people. They're good people.
Yep, good.
Well,
so,
what would you go there for the free beer I saw advertised?
Well, I did get some free beer, not a lot because I don't drink a lot. But the kid, my boy, he went. He likes to ski, so he went over and slid down the hill on the ice, did the jumps and all that stuff. You know, he had a good time doing it, and it was a good time for people. I mean, they had the beer. Cake throwing, which I didn't see, but I did go through a factory tour, and it's a very interesting tour. So next year, if everybody gets a chance, they should go over and go through the factory and see how they actually build the skis.
Yep,
it's pretty interesting. The snowboards and skis, it's well worth the trip.
Yep, so, Pennsylvania hardwoods.
Pennsylvania hardwood, poplar. They use poplar. I guess they say it's grown locally there. They get it, and they started in a. they had a pretty rough start, but from what he was telling us, so
it's pretty
poplar interesting.
Wood.
So it's well worth going. It's people should patronize them as much as they can. You know, if they like to ski or snowboard, that's the place to go.
Okay.
So, but now, what I want to talk about, which isn't so pleasant, is on Friday the House passed the Inflation Reduction Bill, which isn't going to reduce inflation at all.
I call it the Inflation Creation Bill.
Oh, absolutely. They're just spending more money. But I seen something in the paper. That I think it's an AP story. Yep, it's an AP story. Okay, and the paragraph starts with taxing corporations. It says the bill would raise $740 billion in revenue over a decade, over a third from government savings from lower drug prices. Now, I don't know. I need somebody to explain to me this. If you're saving money, that's not revenue. That's just money you're not spending, correct?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, because that's how it's written. Savings, they're counting that as revenue, savings from lower drug prices, I guess, through Medicare or whatever. But that stuff doesn't kick in until 2-3 years. Now, all the stuff you read through this article, none of it kicks in that's supposed to lower everything for 2-3 years down the road. And so, you know, in Washington speak, it'll never happen, because any time that they project stuff 2-3-4-5 years down the road doesn't happen because things change. But what is going to happen is they got all these new IRS agents that they want to hire. Now, I'm not sure where they're going to hire them from, to tell you the truth, because, you know, we do have a worker shortage. Isn't that what we're told? Unemployment's real low. People aren't working. Everybody's looking for help. Where are they going to come up with 80-some thousand new IRS agents to go out and harass the taxpayer?
Well, they're
because
going to cannibalize
they're not just harassing
private businesses.
Billionaires and millionaires.
They're going to cannibalize private businesses and other government offices.
Oh, okay, so they're going to make the worker shortage even worse.
You know what's,
worse,
what's interesting? The Republicans offered an amendment to the bill that specifically said that they could not audit anyone making less than $400,000 a year, and the Democrats voted it down.
Yep, 100% they voted down. No Democrat voted for it. So,
what does that say about what they're promising? They're coming after everybody. Right.
I don't care what people on the left say. They're coming after everybody. They'll eventually get to everybody. So I hope everybody has their paperwork in order for that wonderful IRS audit that comes through. You know, and they say they're not going to raise taxes on anyone making less than $400,000. Well, that's a lie too, because there's organizations that have done run the numbers with information from the CBO and the government numbers. And everybody's going to pay more taxes. And the greatest percentage is going to be people making less than $75,000. So everybody's being fed a bill of goods, as usual, with the government. And right now, the government is run by Democrats. So all these people that are just pro-Democrat, that say they're just looking out for the little guy, no, I'm sorry. What they want to do is screw the little guy, and that's exactly what they're going to do.
But I can't imagine how they're going to find, you know, even 20,000 good workers out there. But you're right, it's going to make the worker shortage bad. It's a partisan bill, and we'll see how it gets implemented. Even if those jobs open up tomorrow,
the workers aren't there. We had to pass the bill to see what was in it. That was another one of Pelosi's line that came out recently. Well, we and Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is there, the press secretary in the White House, she basically said the same thing. We'll have to get it passed, and we'll see how we're going to implement it.
All right, we got to hit the next call.
That stuff should all be out there before this happens, but it won't be.
You're right. So. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Thank you, Stan.
Thanks, Stan.
All right, have a good one.
Take care,
everybody. All righty, last caller before the top of the hour. Go ahead, Chris. There we go. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Hello.
You're on.
Sorry, my fault. You have to actually push
He's having a rough day today. You'll have to forgive him.
Yeah. Well, you were being pretty reasonable there at the beginning there, Joe. I was agreeing with what you were saying. But the argument that it's political is kind of bogus, I think. And the idea that even if he did declassify them, it has to be known that he did declassify them. I mean, Tom's right about a procedure, and it's certainly a public announcement. And whether he just said that to himself or what, who knows? You know, that doesn't mean anything, what he says now. If you can find a document that actually says that, and people let it go by, I'd say that's pretty bad, too. And even if he declassified them, it doesn't give him the right to steal government documents, whether they're classified or not. That's still illegal. And people were yelling at first about they didn't subpoena them. Well, they did subpoena those things, as it turns out. But the government didn't say they did, and so that wasn't known at the time, but it is now, I think. They said they had a subpoena for the papers, and they had the word of his lawyer that everything that was classified had been returned.
Okay, but...
And one category of things in there, the president can't declassify by himself.
And that's nuclear secrets.
They put in an extra procedure.
Well,
on that.
He can't declassify nuclear secrets. That's absolutely forbidden. No one can declassify them on their own.
Right. And the top level, the ACQ or something like that, I guess, level of secrecy, whatever the three letters.
Secret compartmentalized
were,
information.
He wouldn't be able to do by himself anyway. And he still can't just take government documents and disappear with them. You know, they didn't have the documents on file anymore.
But Chris,
if he took them,
first of all, how would anybody know what he took and what he didn't take unless there was an inventory of items, and then someone said, "Uh-oh, these are missing."
Well, I think that's happened.
Yeah, which is what apparently happened.
Yes,
okay.
That is what happened.
So
that's,
if there was
that
an
inventory,
if there was an inventory of them, and they knew that they were missing, why did it take them almost 2 years to go after them?
Because they were being. They started in they started talks about it long ago.
Okay, but if they were so sensitive
with this for a while,
if they were so sensitive, you're not going to let me finish.
Kind of emergency.
If they were so sensitive and if they were so important and they knew they were missing, why didn't they issue the search warrant on day one? Why did they deal with the guy for almost 2 years trying to get him to give them back?
Because
but suddenly they decide
people, that's what you do.
Suddenly they decide it's so
normal
important.
People, that's what you do.
Suddenly they decide. It's so important that they have to have a really horse and pony show and raid his home.
No, it wasn't a horse and pony show. They kept it all secret. All that stuff.
Double secret probation.
Thank
yeah,
you so much,
you're on
Chris.
Double secret probation for being foolish.
Call back, please, Chris.
They think it's illegal then.
Call back, Chris.
Aw, humbug.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark. Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, on the other side of the glass. He's taking care of our computers, having a meltdown. It hates Monday morning, but it's
don't
getting
we
going.
All.
Yep, and he's got it going pretty slickly now, so I think we should be good. And I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. I very poorly portray a good liberal on the radio, so that's why I am here.
How about you goodly portray a poor liberal?
There's a lot of those out there, too. All right. So, yeah, we would invite you to call us today. We're talking about the search at Mar-a-Lago and the seizure of 20 boxes of goods, some of which were labeled to be the top secret that they have in the world, and had to go to a vault as soon as they were removed from Mar-a-Lago under lock and key and seal and armed guard and so on. And but President Trump said he declassified them, but some of the rules state even if they're declassified, you're not allowed to take them off the campus of the White House. So therein lies, and if there are threats against many of the FBI agents, that's sort of widely viewed as certainly being bipartisanly bad. On the other hand, there's a lot of bipartisan calls for some more transparency associated with the FBI, and that's where we are in this conversation, trying to do a finding of fact and a gathering of opinion about this. If there's another topic you wish to discuss, feel free to give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com. You can text us at 70236, and make sure you use the keyword first, OTM, and then your message. You got 150 characters, sort of like the old Twitter form. You only hit so many characters. So that is how you can contact us. Those are the three methods. Our On the Mark sponsor is the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. I'll have more to say about one of the vehicles available in the Sunbury Motor Company lot shortly. They're getting more trucks in every day, so they're starting to flesh out the inventory a little bit. So they're trying to get more trucks in. Your Lightning is off the train car and is getting some chips in Dearborn, so that should be headed this way via truck before too long. So, truck, Joe, your Lightning is...
I can hardly wait.
...trying to get here. Your friend EB has sent you a message. So
I'm sure he has.
I'll call that up. Yeah. Oh, nope, scratch
no,
that.
No,
that's
Doug.
Yep, Doug. Okay, well, hold on to that. You pre-read that. I'm going to do the news headlines. No name being disclosed for a teenager who died in a crash near Sunbury Sunday. Massive response of first responders at this scene. State police among them saying the unidentified 17-year-old female from Sunbury was a passenger in a car that crashed on Wrens Road around 10 a.m. in Upper Augusta Township, Northumberland County. Troopers don't disclose the names of teens involved in any sort of an incident. There's a new online rating system survey that the campus police at Bucknell University are utilizing. They'll give you a QR card every time they encounter you for any reason, and you're asked to fill it out.
Did we tell you why we were interacting with you? Did we treat you with equity, dignity, and respect? Those types of questions exist just to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, which for us is providing outstanding public safety service.
And that's the Chief of Public Safety, Anthony Morgan, at Bucknell University on WKOK Sunrise. Recently, you can hear more about their initiatives at WKOK.com. The names are out from the incident that happened in Berwick and Neskopec. The perpetrator, Adrian Oswaldo Sura Reyes of Neskopec, killed in Berwick 50-year-old Rebecca Reese of Wilkes-Barre, and killed in Neskopec Rosa D. Reyes, age 56, of Neskopec, the mother of Sura Reyes. We're certainly familiar with that incident by now. Guess who made a normal bus stop public appearance, Joe?
I couldn't tell you.
Republican gubernatorial candidate for governor of Pennsylvania, Doug Mastriano.
Is that unusual?
Yeah, he's been only meeting at churches in front of closed groups so far. But now, WTAJ reporting that he continued his bus tour over the weekend with a stop in Indiana County. Mastriano continues to ramp his campaign. He was at the Jimmy Stewart Airport and, in his remarks, touched on several of the issues that have popped up in the campaign, including abortion, inflation, and energy production. He says, quote, "I'll ask you to go to the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling on that issue, Roe v. Wade, and on the third paragraph of the first page, you only have to read that far, it says, the matter of life is now back with the people and the people's representatives for decision," unquote. Mastriano said the importance of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision can't be overlooked, as states now have the power to make their own laws regarding abortion. And, of course, he indicated that he is a pro-life candidate from the moment of conception, no exceptions, and reiterated that to his good audience. Federal law enforcement officials are facing an onslaught of threats after that search of the Florida state of President Trump. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are now demanding more transparency. CBS News correspondent Bradley Blackburn has more on the call for more scrutiny of the FBI.
Over the weekend, a bipartisan call for more transparency. Senate Intelligence Committee chairs Democrat Mark Warner and Republican Marco Rubio requested the release of the classified documents in question to committee members, along with an assessment of how their mishandling might impact national security.
Republicans are also calling on the Department of Justice to release the affidavit associated with the search warrant. No charges filed against the former president, but according to the search warrant, possible charges could include impeding an investigation, the removal of classified national security records, and the violation of parts of the Espionage Act.
Wow.
Was that you crumbling?
No, it was not. I thought it was you. I'm sitting here with my arms folded. It wasn't me crumpling papers, but yet I did hear crumpling of papers on the air.
Okay. It wasn't me.
You have entered the Twilight Zone.
Maybe it's at the tail end of that.
Probably at the end of that audio cut.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's an odd one.
Why don't you run it again? We'll see.
I thought you were imitating President Trump declassifying documents.
No, I was imitating Nancy Pelosi ripping up his speech.
Ah, okay. Finally, a food festival calls the cops on an 8-year-old. An Ohio food festival was so threatened by an 8-year-old's nearby lemonade stand that they called the police. Seriously, Asa Baker was selling lemonade near the Alliance Ribbon Food Festival recently when a policeman told her she didn't have a permit. She said they felt bad about shutting her down and gave her the $20 for the permit. The young girl then had her stand up and running the next day at a new location, and police did not interfere. In fact, after the story broke, more people stopped by, and young Asa has made hundreds of dollars selling lemonade after the Alliance Ribbon Food Festival complained in Ohio that young Asa was selling.
Those people need to get their heads examined.
But, you know, you and I have both worked with festivals or activities or events. cancer, where there's always, you know, one person at the top of the thing that says, absolutely, positively, no lemonade stands nearby. You know, they're immovable.
Well, then they were upset about Dr. Oz walking through a music festival in Allentown, I think it was.
Or a music fest. Did he go down
there? Yeah, he went down. He just walked through. He wasn't campaigning. People came up to him. You know, he's saying you can't walk through. He didn't have a, he wasn't handing out brochures or tapping people. He was there listening to music, and he went. But they're all over there, have their knickers in a twist because we don't campaign here at our event.
Oh, it's nonpartisan.
Okay. Well, it's not nonpartisan. They just say they don't campaign there.
Okay. All right. 1-800-795-9565. There also was some gunplay over there on the weekend. And
really?
WHTM says the state police called in the cavalry because they brought in some of the mounted horse, mounted police, state troopers.
Oh, okay.
So it was funny. I haven't referred to them, referred to as the cavalry ever.
So. Well, the last time I was in Allentown, they had mounted police officers. So
well, state police have them. We know that to be true. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. What should happen next? Did President Trump do anything wrong? And what should happen next? Does the FBI need to be more transparent? These are some of the questions we've asked.
Yeah, we've got some good emails and texts here, too, and we have a caller waiting. So where are we going?
Well, I guess we better put the caller on the radio. He's waited quite a while today. Dan, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I, like I say, Trump must be the most righteous, clean-living man that there ever was. Everything they throw at him, nothing sticks. This is just one more in the list, forever list, of witch hunts, which they're trying to get Trump so that he never runs again. And this is a method to get him out of there. They... if they could get something to stick, they'd be the happiest day in their life. So it's just one more in a list of witch hunts to get rid of Trump, smear his name. The more they do it, the more we stick behind him, because we know he's the best, I'll say it again, the best president in my lifetime, by far.
But do we
got a lot done? And he's hated for being good.
So you're 5 years old. That's very precocious, Dan.
Yep. He's best president ever in my lifetime, I can say. I know Truman was great, too, but I don't remember much of Truman. But
I'm an FDR man.
Are you?
Yeah, they just want some trying to kill him in the press. And yeah, you news people, you fought, you're going right along with it. Yeah, you're propagating a lie how evil Trump is.
Dan.
But we don't buy it. You can't, yeah, the propaganda's just not working.
Dan, you're not supposed to take any top-secret information, even if you've declassified them, which the president said he did. You're not supposed to take any declassified materials at all whatsoever from the White House. So the president violated the law over the, you know, over the past 2 years when he kept these materials. So, well, I mean, what do you say about it? Is that the sign of a truly great president, that you violate the federal law?
They're telling us that. That's what they're saying. They were declassified. If they were anything really pertinent to the country, to the, you know, really serious, they wouldn't, he wouldn't have been able to declassify them.
Well,
they're all declassified. They were locked away. They locked away, and they were safe. That's a witch hunt. Why don't you guys call it what
Dan,
it is?
If they were so safe, Dan, why did they ask him to put a lock, a security lock on the door, and he agreed to do it? If they were so safe,
exactly.
No, but if they were, if he was keeping them so safe, why did they even have to ask him to put a good lock on the door? He wasn't keeping them safe.
Procedure, like the one gentleman
keeping them safe. That's the problem. He was not keeping them safe. They were in an unsecured room.
You say, I say, they were
what
safe, and they were declassified. It's a witch hunt, and you know it. If you wanted to admit the truth, you would admit Trump has suffered ever since he started to run, and it just keeps right on going. And this is going to backfire on him. He's right now he's thinking about announcing his return to running for office. Mm-hmm. Right now, he's talking about
it. You know what he's thinking about
he
right now?
He has my vote, by the way, and a lot of us out here.
Well, yeah, sure has a lot of supporters here. So does Doug Mastriano around here. If you go by local signs, Doug is in. But the president
is
not electable again.
Area. Most people in this area are down-to-earth, common sense. Common sense conservative, put it that way. A little right of center is where we're at out here. And this is another witch hunt. They have a couple other ones on him now they're going after. It'll never end. That's the sad part. He wins the election. It's going to be one miserable mess, one witch hunt after another. That's how powerful the left is.
I think we ought to investigate
at their side.
Dan, I think we ought to investigate him and as to why he called something a vaccine that isn't a vaccine.
It is. Right.
Well, we need to investigate him for that. Don't you think he should be in jail for that?
Well, that's
water under the bridge now.
I know you're trying to divert me, but he can call what he wants. You guys call it a vaccine. Every left wingers call it a vaccine, and it isn't a vaccine.
What
you
is
guys
it?
All do it. You won't look at it. You won't check it out. You go along with the mainstream, whatever's out there. That's what you do. Sorry to say it, but I have a couple radio stations. I can get them close to me. They're not calling it a vaccine.
What do they call it?
They call it what it is.
What is it?
Just a shot in the arm with whatever's in there. You take it.
Okay.
And there's even a commercial station doesn't promote that vaccine, and they don't talk about Trump in an evil way. I can get them. They're oldies station. You probably know who they are. You guys know every radio
station. We're all in this together. So we talk about Trump in an evil way, do we?
For sure.
You give him a good. You called him a baffoon again.
I didn't call him a baffoon.
Not Joe.
I never called him that.
Joe doesn't resort to name calling.
And it's a sad thing, but it's a destruction. And I really don't think.
All right.
I don't even think Trump or anybody's going to turn this country around. I really don't.
It's too late.
I think we're going socialist, communist here, and you got the FBI right alongside,
going along with
the left wingers, and they've been doing it. It's a sad thing.
It's
a part of the biblical program that's going to happen. Globalization, one world order. You can see it coming.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Thanks for calling in.
You guys have a good one.
Hey, you too, buddy. Thank you.
Our communist tradition here, comrade, what shall we do next?
Well, you know, Dan points out something interesting, not necessarily as much in this call, but in previous calls, that even if President Trump isn't reelected, this groundswell of conservative support for somebody who's going to be a different kind of candidate and run and be a different kind of president and be a lot more assertive is still out there. So if I were Democrats, I'd tread lightly here because the last thing you want is President Trump to bow out.
Well, I mean, if I could get Donald Trump to modify his personal behavior and erase some of the crappy stuff he's done over the past few years, I would welcome him back into the White House.
He may be ineligible by the time it comes for swearing in because of convictions.
But I would think, you know, in all honesty, Governor DeSantis would be a much better choice for President of the United States than Donald Trump.
They have a half a dozen folks waiting in the wings just waiting for Donald to say go, go, go.
People who have the policies that Donald Trump had, which I think were excellent, and I know someone's going to argue with me about that, but I think he had the country on the right track. You realize there's still 5,000 to 7,000 people coming across our southern border every every day.
Right.
And they want to add 87,000 IRS agents. I would say, at the very least, the Biden administration has its priorities so fouled up that they will never be able to untangle them.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone company.
Company, yes. That's our telephone guy.
Telephone, sorry.
Comrade, you're
telephone
making
number.
Mistakes.
If you are interested in calling us, give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. Where are we headed here? Is Trump going to run? Is he a buffoon or not? Or is it is this just Democratic
buffoon?
Name
is that
calling to
is
make
that a
sure
cross
he doesn't
between
run?
A bassoon and an ape?
Are all six of these investigations unfounded? Witch hunting? 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com and text us at 70236.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Upper right-hand corner, Joe.
Okay, WRR says there is a process to declassify a document. One, every page of a classified document is stamped with a classification level. Two, if the document is declassified, each page is stamped with a new classification level. It appears this process didn't occur. That's from WRR. And among our texts, Joe, good question for Chris, and as usual, he doesn't have an answer as to why the government waited to get documents, only speculation. And Chris, the Trump raid was nothing but a political hack job, nothing more. Obama took over 3 million documents when he left office, Chris, and sued to keep them.
Right.
And let's see, the information being put out on mainstream media is from leaks, as usual, so they're worth what the Russian collusion narrative was, nothing.
All right, we got an email from Doug. We're going to read that in a minute, but let's get Dennis on the phone. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, guys. Last night, I was driving home from New York, and I was listening, I guess I can say this, I don't know, WHP, Harrisburg 580.
Oh, no, don't say that.
No. I'm not allowed to say sorry.
Yeah, I don't think
anyway,
we overlap. It's okay.
They had a tremendous podcast on last night, and it was about the Siegel family, and they were hemophiliacs, and they contracted AIDS through blood, you know, transfusion, and anyway, the wife has been an advocate for years, but she couldn't stand Trump. She hated Trump. Hmm. And all her friends, I mean, they were just avid Trump haters.
Whose and family is this?
Their name was Siegel. She's been an advocate since, like, the 80s, because her husband died of AIDS through a blood transfusion.
Okay.
This is what the basis of the podcast was.
Okay.
But anyway, they made it clear that how much she didn't like Trump. But they played the sound clip when he signed the right to try, if you remember that, the medication, right to try, like when there's no hope that you can try this experimental medication.
Sure.
And he signed that into law. And man, that changed everything in her opinion. She said if that would have been the case, you know, when her husband was dying. And, you know, she said, and the minute she accepted that, and she says, I looked past his comments and stuff to see what the good that did to, for so many people, the hope it gave. And she says, and how many of her friends, the diehard Democrats, just dropped her like a hot potato. They wouldn't even talk to her, including a boyfriend who walked away from her because she accepted it. You know, and I said, this is the thing with Trump. I myself was a supporter, but I would sit there sometimes and go cringe and say, I can't believe he just said that.
Right.
You know? And honestly, we all see that side of him that is, you know, boasting and buffoonery, but I cut through that and say, what's the bottom line? Look at the goodness. And that act really reminded me of, yes, So many people had hope because he had the right to try. So, you know, that's my take on it, is that I know what he does to people. He's like the most irritating person, especially when you can't stand him. But, you know, look at the good, and that's how I try to look at it.
Well, and I think we've tried to do that on the show, list what his accomplishments were and list what maybe some of his other shortcomings might be, his propensity to tell the truth, which is...
Or his lack of propensity to tell the truth.
Well, his propensity to tell the truth is about 50%. So, you know, but at the same time, I mean, even I, as a portraying a bad liberal on the radio, could recognize that some of the things were good. I mean, having a porous border, I don't say open border, but I say having a porous border hurts so many things. I mean, it's just disease control and national security and drug prevention and it's a slap in the face to people who are going through the immigration process in the proper manner. So,
I have a nephew from Sicily who's been going through for 14 years. And it's just money and forms and money, and it's just unbelievable.
Well, President Trump did something with the, Joe, the insulin drug, like put a cap on it or something. He signed it.
Right, and then they wouldn't codify that.
Okay, so so that got undone by President Biden?
It's my understanding.
Okay.
I think it's in the bill. Isn't it in the bill? But the Republicans didn't support it or something like that.
It was supposed to, take effect, I think, right after he was leaving office, and Biden came in and wrote an executive order and put a stop to it. Can I add one more thing? I'm sorry, coughing here. One more thing. Today, unusual, but I don't know where it's coming from. It's going across social media. There's this warning going out to Trump supporters. I don't know who the basis is, if it's QAnon, but they're warning Trump supporters, do not react. Do not react if you see them coming for bases that, you know, they're warning people that it's going to be a ploy, the sort of like, pull the Trump supporters out in the streets and cause another January 6th. They said if they come for an arrest for Trump or something, they
don't overreact. Oh, okay. Like, stay calm. Okay. Yeah, don't riot.
Yeah, stay calm. Don't go take up arms, start screaming and fighting in the streets and stuff. They said because there's a possibility, you know, with these warnings going to the FBI, you just never know who's crazy enough to trigger out there. So.
Okay. All right, we got you. Thank you so
much,
Dennis.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call.
All right, got one caller waiting. Another one coming in. Upper right-hand corner now,
and
Joe.
And Doug says, the DOJ was already in Trump's house looking through boxes in June with Trump's permission. The FBI asked him to put locks on some doors to certain rooms, which they did. Then the FBI busted through those doors during the raid. That is a raid and totally unnecessary. If after 5.5 years of constant investigation, harassment, etc., you people can't see that the media, the left and some rhinos will do anything to prevent Trump from running again, then you're a special kind of stupid. They are scared silly of being exposed of their corruption. In the meantime, the left passes a bill that will hire 87,000 IRS agents, while at the same time, the IRS is stocking up on weapons and ammunition. But you guys go ahead and keep believing that the government is working for you and looking out for your best interests. If we will let this blank show continue, we will have lost our country. I think the reference was to excrement. We will have lost our country if we haven't already.
All right. Thank you so much.
Rather apocalyptic there from Doug.
Right. Well, he tells it like it is. Tells it like he sees it. So we appreciate that. All right. Bob, hold on. You're going to be on as soon as we get this out of the way. Hold on. All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. He's pushing the buttons perfectly. Mr. Rob Center on the other side of the glass. Joe McGranahan is here. Good, natural-born conservative. Loves to listen to opposing viewpoints before he dismisses you outright. And I'm Mark Lawrence, portraying a bad liberal on the radio. Let's see. Oh, I guess we're caught up. Wow, fantastic. Good for us. Bob, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Good morning. A fellow ahead of me just took the thing away. I think it's rather unusual. You know, we've got all these IRS agents. You know, I can, you know, tolerate that a bit. But they already appropriate the ammunition for them. I wonder what this is all about. Do they expect war? And the other thing, the guy signed off on this raid thing. The man that had that sex island that killed himself in jail.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein. Mm-hmm. Well, I understand he quit his job and defended Epstein at a point, and then he came back and became the judge or whatever. But when you get into the Clinton era, and that's what this island deal was all about. And also, I don't understand how somebody can kill themselves when in a secure area in a prison. You know, I believe in Santa Claus 2 years ago, I guess, and you did too. But
I
don't believe in.
Everybody does. Don't be silly.
But I don't know. You know, if they had all this information, they took the boxes they wanted. Trump told them it was there. If you have anything there, you can have it. They locked it up. So at that point, what danger is it? This stuff is secure. I mean, you know, but they made a show out of it is what they're up to.
Well,
you know.
I think the danger is that it shouldn't have been removed from the White House, no matter how secure his house is.
But it was held inappropriate. Nobody could get to it after they locked it.
Well, my question
is, who was going to deal with it then?
What took them so long? If there was an inventory and they knew it was missing, why suddenly did it become so critical that they had to raid his house?
Because it's getting near election time.
Well, that is one interpretation of it. Yeah, I can't argue that
point. President Trump's not running, though. Not yet.
We're in real deep trouble here, and I hope this thing changes soon. But anyhow, have a good one.
Hey,
thanks, Bob. Appreciate your call.
Appreciate that. All right, 1-800-795-9565, right in the middle of a knee-deep discussion on President Trump and the Mar-a-Lago search and the FBI scrutiny. Lots of folks asking for more transparency, some outright blaming the FBI of being blatantly political, and Christopher Wray contributing to this Democratic organization that's helping
Bear in mind who appointed Christopher Wray.
Well, yeah, but they must have flipped him, as I heard over the weekend
on the
Sunday show. In fact, I think that was on your show. Somebody said they flipped Christopher Wray, so he's working for the Democrats now. All right, but anyway, but we're talking about that. What is the truth? We've heard a lot of folks say, you know, this or that is so, but we know that's not true, or they have an opinion about what's there, and, you know, that's okay to keep things under lock and key, even if you're not supposed to have them at all. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkokid.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Next caller is Joseph from Milton, Pennsylvania. Good morning, sir.
Hey,
you're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yes. I was listening to what Dan said there. And Dan said, and I'm sure I heard, I think it was Joe, that Paul President Trump a buffoon.
No, huh? I was quoting other people. I didn't call him that. Yeah. You really need to listen to what I'm saying. I did not call him that.
Like you did.
I was quoting people who called him that.
Moving on.
Anyway, that's not exactly what I called, but
I hope so.
I wanted to say about President Trump. President Trump is a businessman. We know that. He closes deals, he makes deals, he buys land, builds things. You know what I'm saying? He's a builder. He's a contractor. I used to be in the contracting business. I used to buy and sell. I still do buy and sell things. I never pay what they ask. I always get the price lowered. This is how he ran the presidency. He went to Europe and to NATO and said, hey, you guys start paying your fair share. We're getting tired of carrying you. And everybody went bananas here because he did that, you know. But it did some good. They started to ante up, you know what I'm saying. And so this is how he ran the presidency, and it was good. And something that really impressed me when he moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, they said that, oh, that building's going to cost a couple million dollars. Well, he renovated another building, I guess, that we already own, but it only cost a few hundred thousand dollars. And that's how he operated. He saved us, the taxpayers, a lot of money with these Democrats. All they know, and Joe Biden is the government, you know, in all his life, just spend our money. You know, it ain't his money. He just spends it. But I think President Trump looked at that money as if he would look at his own money when
Joseph.
He was dealing, just like China. He put tariffs on them and so forth.
Joseph.
And he did a lot of good for this country and the taxpayer and bring our economy to a state that, you know, it was in a good shape till this guy that's in there now took over,
Joseph,
and just ruining things.
Well, I think you have a lot of good points, and I think you could certainly, you know, even I have a list of a half a dozen things President Trump did that were pretty darn good. But my list of things that I didn't like is longer. But in any event, to say that he's some kind of fabulous budgeteering, the budget deficit, he increased the budget deficit more than any other president in history. So he may have done a super job budgeting for the nation, but you cannot say that he was able trying to help us make ends meet.
You get more tax revenue.
You cannot say that he was helping to make ends meet or that he was any sort of a spendthrift or that he balanced the budget because he borrowed more president in 4 years than any other president previous or hence. All right, you may...
There's only been half of a hence.
Right.
I was saying, look at the deficit now. And this guy, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, they're bad. Yeah, that's true. Biden might outdo him. He's got two more years to go.
Biden's definitely going to outdo him.
Yeah.
All right.
It's really historical and prophetic, him moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to the city of Houston and declaring that the national capital of Israel. That's really powerful and a wonderful thing that he did.
He didn't declare it. He just recognized it. He didn't declare it. Israel declared it.
Well, he's as a world power, he
recognized
in moving
it.
Our embassy there, he is declaring that.
No, he recognized it.
Every country, they have their embassy in the capital of that nation. And we didn't have it in the capital because they were fearful of the Arabs and that it would cause a big disturbance. And no other president had the intestinal fortitude to do that, but he did it. And this is why they hate him, too. It's a satanic regime down there in Washington, and he did that, and that was
hard
an
to argue against
thing that he did.
So Washington's filled with Satanists.
Right, in the pizza shop.
Oh, yes, they are.
Okay.
All right, we got to go, Joseph. Thank
and
you, sir.
And basically in the Democratic Party.
Right. All right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. It's good to be back in Central PA. I've been gone for a while.
Now where were you?
Visiting my grandson down in Georgia, my new grandbaby down in Georgia.
I love it down
It's very interesting down there politically, let me tell you. anyway, let's talk about Central Pennsylvania. I'll remind Joseph that, President Trump also has declared bankruptcy more often than any other former president ever. Ask all the business people to whom he still owes money and haven't paid his bills how much they think he's a great businessman. But as what's going on at Mar-a-Lago, anyone can say, oh, well, he kept those secrets locked up. We don't know that. We don't know what went on behind there. But the fact of the matter is he stole, broke the law, broke the federal law, and now it's been proven that he has done so. And all the Republicans who are screaming, oh, this is the FBI acting just as a pawn of the Democrats, what are they saying now that they have evidence that the law was broken? And let's not forget how long this has been going on, Joe. You say this seems to be a recent event. They've been working on this since April, had gone in there before, and they said, oh, you have all the documents, have affidavits signed by the president's lawyers. Oh, we've given everything up. And they've tried to negotiate, and finally had to go in, and now they have the evidence. They have the smoking gun right there in their hands. Now, is everyone just going to say, oh, this is all lies and everything? And again, I'll remind you that President Trump fired the former FBI director, put his own guy in, and President Biden has retained the FBI director, and that's the one directing these activities.
They
flipped
him.
The law has been broken, and someone's going to pay for it.
They flipped him.
They flipped them.
Christopher
Wray.
No, that's what somebody said over the weekend.
I know. But, I want to hear now from all these Republicans who went out publicly and said this is a witch hunt, and now have them say, try to explain away what they found. Are they going to say now we'll just planted evidence? Well, is that going to be the next thing?
Did you have
the ludicrousness?
Well, President Trump did.
Did you have the radio on earlier in the program? We had quite a few of those Republicans you're talking about call in and express their opinions, and some of them very reasonable about how this was handled and whether it should have been handled in a different way. And that's not an unreasonable thing to believe, in all honesty, Eric. I don't think they needed to do what they did. I mean, I think that they had every right to retrieve those papers, but if there was an inventory of them, they knew they were missing, they had all this time. What suddenly transpired that made it so urgent that they had to actually raid the place after waiting after waiting a year and a half and negotiating with him? Why did they suddenly decide that they had to raid him now? Because they could have waited.
Because he lied.
No, he didn't lie.
And he refused to give those.
He didn't lie.
He had his own lawyer say, hey, you have all the documents. And now they found that he didn't.
No. He
said
there,
who's lying?
He said there was no classified documents there because he believed he declassified them. So you could
argue. How can he declassify them?
You could argue that
he declassified them after he's president.
You could argue that he had no right or legal authority to do that, and you may be on solid ground if you do make that argument. But in Trump world, and that's where we're living, whether we want to or not, he has declassified them. And so when he said there are no classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, he was telling the truth as he perceived it, not lying.
You go to Bob's Rubber Stamp Shop in Berwick and
say, this has been declassified.
I want a stamp that says D.
President Nixon said he didn't tape anything either, right? Okay, so you said a very important point, Joe, and a very frightening thing to me. You said in the Trump world. Well, I choose not to live in the Trump world. I choose to live in a nation where we have laws, federal laws, which need to be then followed up on and taken care of by the Federal Bureau of Investigation,
FBI.
They have done. Now, listen to me. This is my phone call,
yeah,
I believe, Jim, right?
Come on. Oh, wow.
So they have done
this
that.
My program.
They now have evidence, and now that evidence will be put into whatever mechanism we need to prosecute. Okay, what happens if there's a Russian spy or someone inside Mar-a-Lago?
Let me talk
and
about
who happens to see these documents and
me,
now gives them to the Russians.
Let me talk about
if you flip this a Democrat, you Republicans would be screaming to high heaven.
Let
but
me
because
talk,
it's Trump, because you say we live in a Trump era, it's okay.
Let
it's
me not let me talk
okay.
about Eric
Thank
world.
You,
in
Eric.
Eric world in Eric world.
Thank you, Eric. We gotta go.
There are no trials. In other words, have you ever heard of trials? People go to court all the time because one side believes one thing, the other side believes another.
Sure.
There
we'll
is
look at
a
the
legal
courtroom.
There is a legal process under which if there is a dispute, it can be resolved. It doesn't have to be a raid in someone's home. There can be legal action taken. They could have issued a subpoena for those papers. I know you don't want to admit that, Eric, because you've got TDR. That's Trump Derangement Syndrome. TDS, rather. Anyway.
TDR.
Because
one of our good listeners says, why did they raid Mar-a-Lago?
Because there's an election coming.
All right. Next one.
And well, we have Mary holding.
Oh, that's not right. No reading while we got callers waiting. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes, I'm calling about the raid that went on. Why did they have to turn the security cameras off?
I don't know.
It seems kind of funny, doesn't it?
And why did they tell his lawyers they had to leave?
That's right. They cleaned the house out. They told everybody to go outside.
Well, they have reasons for all these things. But is that officially known to be true? I know President Trump said it, that they turned their security cameras off. But is that true that that's what they...
They apparently told the people that they couldn't videotape it or video it either. So.
Is that true?
That's,
no, I'm
that's
asking.
Right. That's right.
I know Eric Trump said that, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
I haven't heard the FBI deny it.
Right. So we don't know. Well, they haven't really weighed into the things that Trumps are saying. But anyway, go ahead, Mary.
I mean, if they'd done everything right, why did they turn the cameras off? That way they would have proof of what they did in his house.
Well, why were they in Melania's closet?
And why were they wearing khaki pants and polo shirts? You'd think they'd be all dressed up in, like, FBI clothes.
Well, it was early in the morning.
Oh, okay. 10 o'clock.
Why did they go early in the morning?
Well, they went at 10 o'clock. That's not really early to most people.
Well, they planned it because Trump was out. Supposedly, they planned it when Trump was out of town in order to keep it low-key. But I would hardly call what they did low-key.
Well, and he was with his lawyers anyway, so he knew right what to do. He was supposedly getting ready for his civil deposition.
Well, that was easy because all he did was take
well,
the fifth.
I was just going to say, what kind of preparation does that take?
None.
Who are you, Donald Trump? How do you plead?
Everything else.
The Fifth.
Fifth Amendment, right.
Yeah, they said he invoked it like 40 times or something.
400.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, big number. All right, thank you. All right, Mary, we'll give you the last word.
And why did Biden leave town with his whole family when this was going on?
That's what Joe Biden does. That's not suspicious at all. That makes perfect sense every day. Why did he vacation in North Carolina?
Why is he living for free in someone's multi-million-dollar mansion while the rest of us are having trouble paying for eggs at the grocery store?
That's called the White House, Joe. The president gets to live there. So anyway,
no, he's in someone's mansion
down
on vacation,
Carolinas.
Right?
And why is it that a man who lives along the Atlantic Beach at Rehoboth has to go to North Carolina to relax?
Go to a beach, right?
Honest. Pete. All right, anyway. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. Call again.
Thank you.
Bye. Think she left.
I think we already lost her. All right. Well, we were certainly glad to hear from her, and we'd love to hear from her early and often again.
And we'll be back tomorrow to do this all over.
We have 2 unread emails and 1 unread text, so I will leave those screens exactly as you see them, and we'll read them tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for participating on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 10 o'clock.